Blog Talk Radio.
I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Well, welcome, welcome. But guess what, Michael? Whoops. Oh, no.
There we go.
Michael McCleary is not here. He's not in the house. I'm sorry. He's like incognito. This is Jed, who's messing up the soundboard with the wonderful Maria DiGiovanni.
Thank you, Jed. Again, we cannot do this without you, sir. So I'm so blessed to have you as our producer. And I know that you are an angel, and I am just so blessed and honored to be here. And tonight's topic, everybody, thank you all of our listeners. And Coretta in our chat room, girl, thank you so much for making sure that everyone is doing their thing in there. And tonight's show is on overcoming tragedy, and it's brought to you by Rebecca Lawler Limited and for Beyond the Green International Ministries. And my beautiful co-host for tonight, I don't want to go on without her. So, Miss Rebecca Lawler, are you with me?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm on the phone with three of the most amazing women. Three wonderful gifts from heaven. I cannot tell you. They've all been a part of my life, and it's going to be an amazing show. Take over, Maria.
We have just a 30-minute show tonight, and again, this is number 5 in the series of Overcoming Tragedy, and we've done some incredible shows under this title. And again, as I was talking to the ladies before, and I want to make sure that our audience understands that it is, we all have tragedy in our life, but it truly is in overcoming that is the key to our survival. And tonight we have some incredible guests, and I'm going to actually let you introduce both of them, Rebecca. But again, we've all have overcome some incredible things, and that's what I want to focus on. So if you would like to introduce our guests, and again, I am blessed to have them all on. But Rebecca, I'm going to let you do the honors.
Well, thank you so much. I'd like to really, truly, and when I say I'm on the show this evening with three of the most amazing women I know, I've been so honored and blessed to know everyone. Maria, I adore and love you, and God sent to me two other dear friends in my life. One is Marilyn Whitley. She's going to speak tonight. I don't think that you can hear any more words of tragedy than if you have cancer. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer it's been about a year and a half now. And then another dear friend of mine who is just been, God has brought her into my life just recently over the last year, Sarah Dorcio, and she's an amazing woman. And so I'm going to bring on, first of all, I guess I'd love to bring on Marilyn to talk about, today we were together. I was so blessed to have lunch with her. And Marilyn, we were sharing today about when you heard those words, and we talked about how you dealt with it and how you overcame it. So thank you for being here tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell us your story.
Awesome.
Well, I, as you know, I was diagnosed 2 years ago, this coming October, with breast cancer. And I said the last time I was on the show with you all, the first thing, there was a book by Betty Rollins, who was a newscaster, First You Cry. And it seems to be the reaction so many people I know, so many women I've been close to that have been diagnosed just recently with it, the first thing they did was cry, because you cannot believe it. Your life is turned completely upside down. And you don't know what they're talking about. The language is foreign to you. You don't understand any of the terminology. You have no idea, because they don't give you but little bits and pieces to move forward. And you don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. And you just kind of follow their protocol, and they lead you, which is fine. But you have to finally realize that you've got to educate yourself and get the information and move forward. And I was truly, I have known Sarah for a long time, but she and I were not close friends. And she called me that night and talked to me and said, well, how does it feel to have breast cancer? And I said, it feels surreal. And I'm recently helping a close friend's sister who has been diagnosed 2 weeks ago. And the first thing I told her, we've laughed about it, and she cried, and I said, but I'll tell you this, you've got to have a positive attitude. You've got to surround yourself by positive people, intelligent people. You've got to be able to make intelligent decisions about your own body and what you're facing. And when you're diagnosed with cancer, everyone is diagnosed with cancer. Everyone that is in your family and is close to you, the word cancer just kind of takes everybody's life back. And you step back and you look and you realize, and if you don't move forward and you don't have a positive attitude, you cannot continue to maintain the life that you had. You cannot maintain anything, and you can't ever give up hope. I love my life. I love it every single moment. And I just think,
Marilyn,
that we, yes.
I'm going to stop you for a second, because I'm sure there's a lot of questions out in the audience, so I'm going to like throw them out there for them.
Okay.
And the one question that's coming to my mind, welcome again to the show. I'm
Thank
honored
you,
to have
Priya.
You here. The one question is, there's a time you hear it, the information goes into your soul and it goes into your spirit, but there's also a time when you have a PMS party, the poor me syndrome, okay?
Yeah.
And even though we really try to focus on the trying and get through all the positive that people are throwing, everything is going to be good, and you get all the information. But there is that moment that we do have a PMS party. What did you do? What was the one thing that you held on to that got you out of those moments and got you on to a level where you could overcome it?
I held on to my faith, and I held on to the fact that I had at that time a father who was 93 when I was first diagnosed, and he depended on me every single day to take him out, to take care of him, to do everything. And the other thing was, Ed has a 14-year-old granddaughter, and she is my granddaughter. I've raised her since she was born. And what she would do without me, she's had a very turbulent existence from the time she was born, and it's been rough for her, and I'm the one person that's the constant, and that's what I just kept moving forward, because what were they going to do if something were to happen to me? And you do have those moments where you actually sit down. I came out one day from a hideous test and sat in the parking lot and cried for like 5 minutes and pulled myself together and said, you know what, you got to go on. You just have to go on. And it's like that with everything in your life. You can either wallow in it, or you can reach out. There's always someone that can help you. And there are people, they call them navigators with the breast cancer, that if you don't have a core of friends, or you're in a place where you've just moved there and you found this out and your family's thousands of miles away, there is a group that can help you and surround you and give you support and say, this is what you're going to have happen to you. This is how it's going to go. And you just meet with it every day. And you cannot give up.
I'm sorry. We have a question for you from the chat room, Marilyn. I want to get it to you. And it is this, and it is, what did she do with the anger of the diagnosis?
Oh, gosh, the anger of the diagnosis.
It's a great question.
It is a great question, and the truth of it is, it's the anger of the diagnosis, the anger that it has taken your life away as you know it, because as soon as they tell you, your life is never going to be the same until after you can get through those treatments and you get through all of it, and there is so much anger, and you direct it at the people that you love the most, because that's what we always do. But at the same time, I have to tell you, what my internist said to me, this is ridiculous, and I was explaining to her one day, I said, I don't know if I'm going to kill Ed or my father first, but one of them is going down. You know, and she said, why should you feel that way? Let's put you on something to take that edge off. And honest to God, I took that first pill, and it was just like a miracle drug. And it doesn't make you feel bad. It doesn't make you feel drunk or out of control or out of touch. It just takes that edge off, because there is so much anger, and you just have to, sometimes you just have to scream.
Right.
And you realize you're not in the position by yourself. And the thing that makes you the angriest is not just the diagnosis, but people that don't understand. They've never been diagnosed with cancer. They're telling you how you're going to feel and everything else, and they have not one clue. And that's the truth of it. So you need to find somebody that knows what they're talking about, because they've been walking in your shoes. And just that doesn't always apply to just cancer. Sometimes there are things, challenges in our life that we cannot possibly imagine, because it's never happened to us. And some things you really have to walk in somebody else's shoes to truly appreciate it and to truly understand it. And at those times, you just have to be with the people that understand what you're going through.
Which I think brings us to our next guest. And if I'm not mistaken, Sarah, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
I would love for you to tell the audience your background and what you do, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My background as it relates to tragedy, I'm not sure if I should be on the show. I don't feel like anything I've been through is tragic at all. I was a child of abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. I had severe malnutrition. I never felt that any of it was tragic, though. I was raised to always put God first in my life. And if I keep God first and I don't let anything get in between my relationship, the relationship between me and God, then there's no room to suffer. So I've never felt like any of the experiences I've had that are adverse or negative or not ideal have been tragic. I feel like they're just part of what was dealt to me, and I'm such a strong person because I always leaned on my faith to help me. So
why
I'm not sure...
Why do you think you were so instrumental in helping Marilyn through her ordeal?
Oh, no question. God, my faith in God. it's just so very basic and so very simple. And when we're faced with bigger, larger adversities in our life, if we put everything into perspective, just like Marilyn did, just like Rebecca's always done, it brings everything back into focus. And that's, if you look straight ahead, you should see God first. We're supposed to put God before our own children, before our family members, before anyone. and everything falls into place.
You know, Sarah, I think that that's true. And I also think that God does not give us anything more than we can handle, even when there are days when we think, oh, my God, I don't know if I can get through this. We do. We manage. We get through it. And I don't think that he gives us any more of a challenge than he knows we're capable of stepping up to the plate for.
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry, there's a delay. I also think that he stacks people around us that we need. For example, my childhood that was not rosy. I had a sister who was 13 years older than me. She's actually my half sister. And had she not been there, I don't know how I would be here today. But that's my sister, dear sister Frankie. And I had another sister and another brother, not real helpful, but Frankie was there.
and she still is.
Yeah, she still is. So
that was the point that I wanted to touch on. I think, and it brings me right back to my guest co-host here, Rebecca. I think God also, or your higher power, whatever that is for you, brings really strong individuals together. And again, just like Marilyn said, I cannot coach people that I haven't walked in those shoes. And just like we discussed yesterday, Marilyn, I think that we're all coming together, and I think we have an audience that is listening in that are joining us now, so we can build this team of incredibly strong individuals that I may not have walked through what it is that you've walked through, but we're going to have other people behind us that have, and we will have each other to be able to bring them to. Do you understand? And this is why we're all locking arms and joining voices and using this forum in order to get that word out that there are people out here that know what you're going through. You don't have to walk this alone, and you will never have to be alone again. I know that as long as I have Rebecca, I will never be alone in the shoes that I have walked, and she knows she will never be alone. But God forbid that something happens to me or something happens to one of us again. But Marilyn, you're there if one of us is diagnosed with breast cancer.
Absolutely. And it's not, I don't even have to know you. I mean, I have picked up the phone for people that I barely know because I remember Sarah picking up the phone and calling me. And you just do it. I mean, I've held hands with people when I was sitting in the treatment room. And the looks of despair on their faces, you know, and not everyone is strong. I'm a strong person. Sarah's a strong person. I know that Rebecca is, and I know from what I've read about you, Maria, you are too. But there are a lot of women, and we all know them, that don't have the strength that we do, but they can get it from people like us and knowing that they're not alone and that there are people out there. You may think you're alone, but you're not. You know, everybody is going through something, and we can all relate because just minute stuff raising a child, you're going through it, and sometimes it's just easier to have somebody say, you know what, you're doing a good job.
Well,
you know, with your kid, you're doing a good job with your kid.
I think everybody wants to hear. I have a healthcare background. Everybody wants to hear you're going to be okay. And we're all going to be okay. No matter what the outcome, we are going to be okay. But I heard a great sermon one time about comparing people to pine trees. And the example is if you ever randomly see a pine tree fallen down on the side of the road or across the road, and then you look where it came from, the area that it fell from, the pine tree was all alone. And pine trees are always in clusters, and that's how they survive. So the pine trees that, you know, the people come in and rip out a few trees around to clear an area or something, the pine trees that fall are the ones that are not being supported.
That's a really good analogy.
They sway with the wind, and each pine tree absorbs just a little bit of the breeze and helps all the others because the one pine tree alone can't take the 40-mile-an-hour wind. But when you put them all together, they divide that up and they all conquer it. So, and, you know, Marilyn can help anyone going through such a horrible thing as dealing with breast cancer, but she helps with everything else too. I mean, that's not the limit of her ability. I think it's you know, your moral fiber. If your moral fiber is strong enough, you go to people who are in need, and women are better at it. I understand that than men. I agree with that. But, I mean, I could call Marilyn if my baby threw up on me and she would come clean it up.
I would.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
And Rebecca. I mean, Rebecca would be right there, too.
Rebecca, do you have
any questions? I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
I know she would clean it up, but I'd like to see that.
Wow. So, you know, I'm
still
just
with
really...
us, Rebecca?
No, you know, it's I'm in a really great place right now because I'm hearing and listening to three of the most amazing women in my life talking about how to overcome life's issues.
Well,
because we've all been on the bathroom floor.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
We've all been there. No, we've all been on the bathroom floor crying. You know, I think we spoke about this not long ago, Maria, when life just hurts so much. And I think one of the most amazing things is that to listen to Marilyn this evening and to listen to Sarah and to listen to you. And like Sarah was just saying about the trees, you know, the pine trees. I mean, the reality of life is that it's a journey. And we are going to be confronted with issues. And thorns, I think Paul said in the Bible, in Ephesians, we all have thorns in our side. And, you know, the love of our friends, the love that we share with those that come into our lives, and the grace of God, I think, gets us through.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
We have about 8 minutes left, so I want to ask Marilyn another question, because there's, again, people that are listening in who have gone through some pretty tragic things. And recently, I just lost one of the love of my life, and that was my precious golden retriever who has been by my side through thick and thin. And it's incredible to walk through the loss of someone, a soul that you love. And I know that you had gone through something like that. And again, it's all in the overcoming. So can you tell us a little bit about that story? Because, again, we just have about 8 minutes, and I want to touch just real quick on it. And again, how you overcame such a loss.
Oh, gosh. I can't even think how I did it, but I did it. And it's been so many years ago, but I was in love, very much in love with a man who died in my arms of a heart attack. And the last thing he said to me was, "I love you, Em," and he was gone. And I just thought my whole world had just crumbled, and it had. And it was just horrible. And I remember the next day, this was in the evening when he died, and the next day I remember going out walking my little dog and looking around, and everybody was going to work, and the world was going on, and my world had come to an end, that I thought. But I noticed that the rest of the world continued to move on, you know, and they had no idea of the grief and the heartache that I had. But I had a cockapoo, and I loved her as you loved your dog, Kelly. And I mean, it's, you put so much into animals sometimes. They're there with unconditional love. They're there. It's our minds let them hear what we're thinking, you know, and it's very, very difficult, but you just have to put one foot in front of the other every single day. Even when you don't think you can crawl out of bed, you have to. You have to go to work. Some people have children they have to take care of. You have to go on. And it's very, very difficult. It's heartbreaking. It really is. It's like somebody took the air and just knocked it completely out of you. But in time, your heart does mend, and in time, your mind lets you remember the good times, and you have to take comfort in those memories with that person, because they never leave you. Your pets don't leave you. They live forever in your heart and in your memories. And you just have to finally realized that you can either die or you can go on. And I read a poem a long time ago, and the gist of it is, one of the lines in it is, even the sun hurts if you get too much.
Mm.
And that's
wow,
the truth.
That's good.
And the other line that I remember reading, and then this helped me get through it too, is, I lived 30 years without you in my life. I'm going to have to live 30 more.
Mm.
And you have to realize that. And we all know, but, you know, we're just never ready to give up on, give up the people that we love, the things that we love, the animals, the children. We're not ever ready to let them go. And it doesn't matter how sick and how tired and how ready they are to go, we're never ready.
Yeah, because I definitely was not ready to let her go. But it was one of the things that I did realize, and I think it's really helping me in overcoming a loss, is the precious 3 hours of her, the last 3 hours of her life, I will not give that up for anything. And I'm so, so glad that even though it wasn't what I wanted to have happen, it was a very precious time for me. And I really think that's also helping me overcome. And we've got about 4 minutes, ladies. I want to ask Sarah, what are you doing? What is going on in your life? Is there anything that you would like to highlight right now? And I really want to thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Everything's going on in my life, and everything's good. I have a wonderful 16-year-old little girl who loves horses and drags me to horse shows, and I shovel and I drive and I haul and I do whatever I can do to make her have a great experience, and we have so much fun. We have had just, you know, minimal little blips on the screen, but really no real problems. Everything's been great getting to and from all these horse shows. And we take my baby, her little brother, Cece, who's going to be a year old Friday.
Wow, your
and
baby.
He's amazing. He's an angel.
Yes.
Seven.
He
yes,
is a doll.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah, for being. Thank you so much, Sarah, for being on the show, and hopefully we'll have you back on another show. But I'm just so grateful that you could make it tonight. And Marilyn, please tell our audience where they can reach you or what you're doing. And again, I wanted to thank you for being on the show and sharing your stories with us.
They can reach me. I'm on Facebook, and they can reach me on Facebook, and. I'm just happy right now. I'm in a very good place. I've lost my dad in December, and I spent 2 months in Florida with our granddaughter, and I've had an amazing time this summer, and I feel rested and better than I've felt in years. And
it's
a good thing.
Very good. I want to also invite you ladies out to the conference that we're going to be having in October. That's October 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And during that time, and I know, Rebecca, you will probably kill me, but I'm going to say it anyway, I am honored and blessed to be able to go on and be able to bless Rebecca, and she is going to be coming a dame under the Imperial Order of Constantine the Great in St. Helen. So I'm really excited, and I'd love for you ladies to come on. But Rebecca, we have about 2 minutes, so I want you to share with our audience about Rebecca Lawler Limited and the Hearts of Hope Foundation, who are our sponsors for tonight's show.
Well, it's a definite honor and a pleasure, and I started the Hearts of Hope Foundation around in 2001, to help children who are abused, and we have a segment in that helps kids with terminal illnesses. Wanted a way to fund that and started a line of handbags and decided that I needed a great logo for that, and God blessed me with an amazing glass heart that we have, and you can find us at RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Rebecca Lawler Limited or Rebecca Lawler. And our mission is just to do really great things to help kids who are abused. And
we have 10 seconds left,
yes,
Rebecca. I just wanted to say
thank you.
You.
It's
for
an honor.
On
I'm so blessed
ladies,
to be with 30 of the most amazing
on the
women.
Show.
Hi.
And we will see you all on the new network, The Ray, starting in next week. So thank you so
thank
much.
You.
And God bless
thank
everybody.
You.
Thank you.
Take care. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I mean,